number of Ebola deaths in West Africa now tops 1,000. Ivory Coast bans passengers from the three most affected countries. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. The World Health Organization says the death toll from West Africa's Ebola outbreak has now surpassed 1,000, reaching 1,013 after another 52 succumbed to the disease in the 3 days ending Saturday. The number of confirmed cases of the deadly virus has surpassed 1,800. The largest number of new deaths are in Liberia, followed by Sierra Leone and then Guinea. Nigeria's health ministry says it has confirmed new case in Lagos. Officials there say there are now 10 confirmed cases of the virus in Lagos, with 2 people having died. The World Health Organization has declared an epidemic an international health emergency. Officials with the group's Medical Ethics Committee met in Geneva Monday talking about the use of experimental drugs. Meanwhile, the Obama administration has approved a request from Liberia to send sample doses of an experimental drug known as ZBAP to treat Liberian health workers. The Liberian military has put a third county, Lofa, under quarantine to check the spread of the disease. Koki Vanderveld, an aid worker with Doctors Without Borders in Liberia, says the virus is affecting people in every strata of society.
From people high up, very wealthy and very healthy, to people, young children, babies, whole families get wiped out by it. It starts with flu-like symptoms, and then progresses to vomiting, diarrhea, and sometimes but not always onto the bleeding stage. And unfortunately after that, it's very soon followed by death.
Ivory Coast, with no known cases of Ebola Monday, announced it's imposing travel restrictions. Government spokesman Bruno Mbonyi-Konyi says since the virus poses a public health emergency, the government is suspending all flights to the affected countries and banning travelers from those countries from entering Ivory Coast. He says all airline passengers will be screened, extra hand-washing facilities made available. Health control measures will be reinforced at air, sea, and land borders. Malawi health officials are also using airport screenings of inbound passengers, and quarantine centers are being available at the country's 2 main airports. Here's reporter Lamek Messina.
Charles Mwansambo was the director of health services in the Ministry of Health. He told journalists in Lilongwe that there is no need for Malawians to panic because chances for them getting infected are minimal.
I need to reassure members of the public not to panic because Ebola is spread by direct contact with bodily fluids. And bodily fluids here, we're talking about blood, talking about saliva, we're talking about urine.
But the chairperson of Malawi's Parliamentary Committee on Health, Juliana Lunguzi, told VOA that what Mwansambo said is unrealistic. She said there is no logic in telling people not to panic when the situation on the ground shows that the government is doing nothing to prevent the outbreak. But Minister of Health officials insist that something is being done to prevent the spread of the virus. Its spokesperson, Henry Chimbali, told reporters the ministry is working on a budget that would fund efforts to contain the deadly disease. Lamek Messina for VOA News.
In Sierra Leone, the French press agency reports 8 Chinese medical workers have been placed in quarantine. 7 Chinese doctors and nurse have displayed symptoms of the Ebola virus. Meanwhile, Chinese disease control experts arrived in Conakry, the capital of Guinea, Monday, with protective suits, disinfectants, thermal detectors, and medicines. President Obama has authorized $10 million in military aid to help France fight terrorism in the Sahel region of West Africa. Mr. Obama said Monday that an unforeseen emergency exists requiring the assistance for France as it fights against violent extremists in Mali, Niger, and Chad. The funds are to be used for airlift and aerial refueling services requested by France. More than a year ago, France launched an operation in Mali aimed at defeating Islamist extremists who had overthrown part of the former French colony. Now, with a force of 3,000, France has expanded the operation throughout the region, including Mauritania and Burkina Faso. Again, the hour's top story. The World Health Organization now says the death toll from West Africa's Ebola outbreak has surpassed 1,000, reaching 1,013 after another 52 people succumbed to the virus in the 3 days ending Saturday. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from The Voice of America. I'm Peter Clote in Washington. Today is Tuesday, August 12, and here are some of the stories we are covering. In Uganda, a parliamentarian threatens to name colleagues who use drugs.
Our penal code prohibits the use of such drugs, and members of parliament are not held in exception. Even if you're the president, and anybody can defy and confirm that you're on drugs and that you abuse the drugs, then actually it becomes a criminal matter.
Mathias Mpuuga is a member of Uganda's Parliamentary Rules and Privileges Committee. Ivory Coast health officials take precautions against Ebola.
The health minister is advising citizens to take standard preventative measures. She says people should stop eating bushmeat and start washing their hands often. She also advised people to stop shaking hands or hugging people.
That's reporter Anne Luke in Dakar. Also, Cameroon officials adopt Nigerian security measures to counter the threat of attack by Boko Haram, while Somalia's president talks about the fight against terrorist group Al-Shabaab. And South Sudan President Salva Kiir says rival Riek Machar may be named a second vice president in an interim government, but not prime minister. All that and the latest in sports with Marco Uma coming up next on Daybreak Africa. A leading member of Uganda's Parliamentary Rules and Privileges Committee has called for an independent investigation into allegations some lawmakers use marijuana and other illicit drugs during parliamentary sessions. Mathias Mpuuga says those who use drugs should be exposed for undermining the integrity of the lawmaking body. His comments followed a media report in the Daily Monitor newspaper that quoted a member of parliament from eastern Uganda as threatening to name colleagues who use drugs. Mpuuga told me earlier that the allegations should be investigated since he says no one is above the country's laws.
If the honourable member is actually informed of that kind of vice in parliament, because honourable members of parliament are expected by our standards to behave in a given way, and using drugs is not one of the privileges of parliament. And I'll implore her to work by the rules and report this matter to the speaker as the rules prescribe. Then the speaker will invite the committee on rules and privileges. Thankfully, I am a member of that committee on rules and privileges. We shall perhaps look into the matter if she is willing to come and give evidence in the committee. Otherwise, if she is not able to substantiate, she will again be dragged to the same committee for bringing the name of parliament into disrepute.
She says she will soon name those errant members of parliament who use drugs in parliament. Now, so will you support calls by some members of the media and population who are saying that she should name those people who she claims are using drugs in parliament?
Yeah, surely if she is going to do that, I'll absolutely support her, because I am one person who will not be comfortable working in an environment where there are people influenced by other things other than knowledge and intelligence. If drugs are being used to enhance members' way of reasoning, I am most hesitant to work in such an environment. So she'll have my utmost support. But of course, our rules bar us from engaging in such kind of acts that are bound to bring the reputation of parliament into contempt.
If a member of parliament is proven to have used drugs, what happens to that member of parliament or lawmakers?
No, it's not just about being a member of parliament. Remember, members of parliament are members of the public. In Uganda, it is illegal to use such drugs. So if there's such a member, and the honourable member who made the allegation is able to testify that he says, it means that will become a matter for the police to investigate and bring that member to book for using illegal drugs. It's not allowed. Our penal code prohibits the use of such drugs, and members of parliament are not held in exception to the rest of the public when it comes to drug abuse. We have very clear laws on drug abuse in this country, and they do not hold any other people in exceptional circumstances. Even if you're the president, and anybody can testify and confirm that you're on drugs, and that you abuse these drugs, then actually it becomes a criminal matter. And if you are convicted on such a criminal offense and brought under book in a court of law for more than 6 months, then and you are indicted for more than 6 months, it means you lose your seat as a member of parliament.
Mathias Mpuuga is leading member of Uganda's Parliamentary Rules and Privileges Committee. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. So far, the Ebola virus has killed more than 900 people in four countries in West Africa. Other countries are taking precautions. The government of Ivory Coast has now barred the national airline Air Côte d'Ivoire from flying to and from affected countries. The move is part of a whole slew of measures Ivory Coast announced Monday aimed at keeping the country Ebola-free. VOA West Africa correspondent Anne-Luc has more.
As Nigeria continues to report new Ebola cases stemming from that infected traveler from Liberia who arrived at the Lagos airport in late July, other countries are getting their guard up. In Ivory Coast, the government says until further notice, Air Côte d'Ivoire will not be flying routes from affected countries to Abidjan. The government has also banned all carriers servicing the country from transporting passengers from Ebola-affected countries to Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast has not reported any cases of Ebola. Government spokesman Bruno Kone said they want to keep it that way.
Donc, il faut absolument maintenir cette vigilance au niveau du gouvernement, mais également.
He says other countries have already had cases of possible contamination via air travel. He says if that can happen to Nigeria, which is further away from the outbreak's epicenter than they are, what would make Ivory Coast think that a sick person could not get on a plane in Monrovia or Freetown and get off in Abidjan? The government says in addition to the ban on travelers from those areas, authorities at the Abidjan airport will be screening all arriving passengers for fever using infrared thermometer devices. Fever can be one of the early symptoms of Ebola. Once symptoms appear, a person is contagious. Other people can catch the disease by coming into close contact with that sick person's bodily fluids. But it can take up to 21 days for symptoms to appear, which in theory would make it possible for an infected but seemingly healthy person to board a plane and enter another country. But the threat is not only from the air. Ivory Coast shares land borders with two of the four affected countries, Liberia and Guinea. Ivory Coast Health Minister Dr. Raymond Goudou Koffi said it does not make sense to shut those borders.
Vous avez dit que nous avons des pistes qui ne sont pas légales, nos frontières sont poreuses.
She says the borders are very porous and there is a lot of movement back and forth. She says even if they close the official borders, people know other ways across. She says instead they have worked on educating villages and local leaders to get them to refer new arrivals to health authorities. Liberia has shut its land border with Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast's defense minister said in recent days, border authorities have already repatriated nearly 100 people who have tried to cross illegally from Guinea or Liberia. The Ivory Coast government says it continues to train health workers and will be holding a simulation drill later this week for first responders to see how they handle a pretend suspected case. The health minister is advising citizens to take standard preventative measures. She says people should stop eating bushmeat and start washing their hands often. She also advised people to stop shaking hands or hugging people. And look, VOA News, Dakar.
In Nigeria, when virtually any official travels, they move in large security convoys. Their homes are heavily fortified. With a recent spate of kidnappings by Boko Haram in Cameroon, Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports on how Cameroon's government has followed the Nigerian example.
Combat-ready soldiers of the elite corps, the Rapid Intervention Battalion, have assembled to accompany Cameroon Minister of Tourism, Buba Bello Maigari, and his delegation on a visit to northern regions that share a boundary with Nigeria. The military spokesman, Colonel Didier Bajek, says it has been a routine activity for the military since the violent Nigerian group Boko Haram started attacking Cameroon.
C'est notre métier. Nous ne pouvons le faire au rythme de la volonté de l'opinion ou de...
He says it is their profession to respond proportionately to increasing insecurity, and they cannot work as dictated by public opinion, but by the challenges ahead of them. Minister Mike Garry says the presence of the military assures them of safety should Boko Haram attack.
We can continue to trust our armed forces, and at the same time, to back the armed forces, to back fully, totally our armed forces.
The decision to provide a military escort for officials visiting North Cameroon was taken after Boko Haram adopted targeted assassinations, kidnappings, and hostage taking. In the past 2 years, the group has targeted local chiefs and influential clerics, as well as kidnapping both locals and foreigners. Last month, they attacked the home of Amadou Ali, Cameroon's deputy prime minister, and kidnapped his wife after killing soldiers who guarded his residence. The vice prime minister himself narrowly escaped the attack. Captain Haman Jibril, who is in charge of the military protection unit for state officials, says Cameroon has also fortified security around the residences of its senior state workers and traditional rulers.
Pour l'instant, ce sont ces autorités-là qui sont visées.
He says, for now, they have to assure the safety of senior workers because they are the ones targeted by Boko Haram, and that very soon, with the means available, they will see what they can do to protect all chiefs that are also asking to be protected. Reacting to complaints that Cameroon is spending huge sums of money to protect state officials and leaving the population of some villages on their own, Captain Haman Jibril says because of the increasing need to protect people, they have deployed additional troops to accompany travelers on public transport buses. The attackers continue to show increasing sophistication in their ability to mount coordinated attacks, as they have always done in Nigeria. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Somalia's president said it is building a partnership with the United States based on mutual interests, and it has established an embassy in Washington for the first time in 23 years. Somali President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud was recently in Washington. He spoke with reporter Vincent Macquarie about his country's relationship with the United States and about his country's struggle to fight Islamic terrorist group Al-Shabaab.
There are a couple of issues that I can say that it is because it's major reasons that the continent has been delayed in the development aspect. One is lack of democratic institutions in place. And that's maybe one fundamental issue. And the other one is, as the theme indicates now, investing the future, investing the youth, preparing the generations to come to lead the continent in the right direction. And I think now in 21st century, this is the time that all these issues are become very clear, and Africa is addressing those issues in support with its international partners like the United States. I'm very much hopeful that this century is the century for Africa, and that has been proven as Africa now is engaging the rest of the world. Recently we have the European and African Summit, we have the Arab and the African Summit. Right now we have America and African Summit. Future, by the end of August, we'll be having China and Africa, India and Africa. So now Africa is the centerpiece of the world development and the future of the world in terms of security, in terms of food security, and in terms of resources. So this is a very important time for the continent of Africa, and the leadership of today is very much focused on those direction.
Mr. President, talking about the leadership being focused on those issues, most African citizens are very skeptical about the commitment of African leaders in implementing some of the great ideas that have been put out there. How can the leadership today reassure the Africans that actually they have that commitment?
Right now, Africa is experiencing this new phenomena of economic independence, and there is no one country that's isolated or have its own agenda alone, but Africa now is in a position to have a collective bargaining with the developing world, a collective bargaining on many issues that Africa was addressing individually before. Now we're addressing through the African Union, through the African Development Bank, and many other forums that exist today. The leadership in the past lacked that level of independence and autonomy. That today, the current leaders of Africa have an opportunity. They have the potentiality of economic freedom. They have the potentiality of the sharing the modern technology that was Africa was lacking before. Now still we are lacking behind, but we are in a very today. If you go to the African capitals, I'd say there is something that was not existing 10 years ago or 5 years ago even. Every year, Africa is moving forward. Now, investing the future, investing the youth. If you go to the history of the African country's budget in the past 70s, 80s, you see how much was allocated for the human capital development. And today, not all of Africa, but in many African countries, you can see this trend is changed now, and a lot of a very major portion of the budget is allocated for the human capital development. This is an indicator that Africa is not depending on the raw material only, but now Africa is building a knowledge-based society for the future.
That was the president of Somalia, President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud. He was speaking with reporter Vincent Macquarie. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm Peter Clote in Washington. Today is Tuesday. Please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Ahead on our program, Mark Ouma's Sport and our Listener of the Day. The leaders of South Sudan's warring parties missed Sunday's 60-day deadline to complete discussions on the formation of an interim government of national unity. President Salva Kiir says he is willing to appoint rebel leader Riek Machar as second vice president in an interim government, but nothing more. For VOA, Nabil Biagio narrates this report written by Mugume Davis Rankarinji in Juba.
Fresh from his return from the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, D.C., President Salva Kiir told supporters at Juba International Airport he does not appreciate being forced into accepting arrangements made by the United States over the future of his government.
There's a meeting we held when I left here on 31st July on how we can have a peace agreement. I told them that this thing called interim government that you're imposing on me is not the right way to resolve this conflict. My time in office has not yet ended.
But Mr. Kiir says he will accept the formation of an interim government for the sake of peace. He will not, however, accept a new position of prime minister for Mr. Machar.
My current Vice President Alhoa James Wani and Abamoru Naibel Awul.
My current Vice President, James Wani Iga, will remain the Vice President. I will make Riak to be my second Vice President if he wants to be in my government. But if he doesn't want, he must stay out and wait for elections. If he defeats me, he can become the President and everybody agrees with me.
South Sudan's transitional constitution does not provide for the creation of a second vice president position. Humanitarian organizations have warned that nearly 4 million people risk famine if the conflict is not resolved within the next few weeks. President Kiir insists he wants to end the conflict through peaceful means.
We do not want war, even the language of war. We need peace. The problem as regards peace is like saying you want to clap using one hand. One hand cannot clap. In order to produce sound, two hands must be used.
So far, the peace talks in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, have produced little results. Aside from failing to agree on an interim government, the two sides have come no closer to reaching a peace deal. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
It's now time for Daybreak Africa Sport. Here's Mark Ouma reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Good Tuesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Peter. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin at the Africa Senior Athletics Championships in Marrakech, Morocco. Winfred Kofi Hua improved Ivory Coast's 100-meter national record when he won the event in 10.05 seconds on Monday. Nigerians Mark Jelks and Edward Monzavu were second and third, respectively. Nigerian Blessing Okagbare reclaimed the women's 100-meter crown she first won 4 years ago. What's more, she improved her championship record with a winning time of 11 seconds. She was followed across the finish line by Ivory Coast's Muriel Ahore and Marie-Josée Talou. South African Rikanet Steenkamp and Ivory Coast's Rosvita Okou were credited with an identical time of 13.26 seconds in women's 100-meter hurdles. Steenkamp was declared winner, while Nigeria Nicole Denby bagged the bronze medal. Earlier on, Burkina Faso's Letitia Bambara won the women's hammer throw with a 65.44 meter effort. Senegal's defending champion Ami Sey was second, while Tunisian Sara Ben Saad placed third. In football news, Sudan's El Merrekh slammed Somalia's Banadir 4-0 at the Council of Eastern Central Africa Football Association's SEKAFA Kagame Cup in Kigali, Rwanda on Monday. Burundi had mixed fortunes. While Atletico pipped Kenya's Gor Mahia 1-0, Rwanda police upset defending champions Vitalo 3-1. Today, Tuesday, Zanzibar's Kikosi Maalum cha Kuangamiza Magendo challenged Ethiopia's Adama as Tanzania mainland's Azam engage South Sudan's Atlabara. Finally, it's a must-win for Ghana's Black Princesses when they play Finland at the FIFA Women's Under-20 World Cup in Toronto, Canada today, Tuesday. The Ghanaians require victory with a large goal margin to edge hosts Canada in their quest for a place in the quarterfinals. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, Peter, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. And here's listener mail for today.
It is a welcome development for students seeking admission into universities in Nigeria and abroad. Kudos to this examination body in Nigeria, Comrade Master Patrick Borograph for all broken and outspoken at the state, Nigeria.
Thank you, listener, for your comment. Please send your viewpoint to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us in the United States at 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us a message. That's it for this Tuesday edition of Daybreak Africa. Join us again tomorrow for more African news and features right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, Managing Editor William Eagle, Producer Nicole Beckford, as well as Sports Editor Mark Ouma, I'm Peter Korte in Washington wishing you all have a peaceful Tuesday. Stay tuned for the international edition next on the Voice of America.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz and 15580 kilohertz. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900 2000 and 2100 UTC.